welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's past. Mark LeVonier, your host for this hour of adventure. Later on, it's the Clyde Beatty Show from the 1940s, but first a broadcast of Top Secret with an episode called Midnight for Danger, an NBC episode first heard on July 23, 1950.
Until now, this story has been Top Secret. Top Secret, the thrilling NBC presentation starring gorgeous Ilona Massey as the Baroness Karen Gaither in transcribed dramas of international intrigue and espionage before and during World War II. Assignment 7, Midnight for Danger.
When I began Assignment 7, I did not know that a watch, a thick, rather ordinary, quite cheap Swiss watch, could hold the secret not only of time, but of death. It is an axiom of spies that the best place to hide a needle is not in a haystack, but in a needle shop. In the city of Basel in Switzerland, a country famous for its watches, the equivalent of a needle shop is a clock store. A quaint, rather ordinary, quite cheap clock store. Could I be waited on, please?
Fräulein, excuse me. I did not hear you come in.
I'm interested in a watch in your window.
Certainly, Fräulein. Which one?
That one.
Ah, that is a beauty. Fräulein has excellent taste.
No, no. The one beside it.
This one?
Yes.
But, Fräulein, this is a man's watch.
I am aware of that.
And may I ask why you fancy this particular watch?
Because of the time it tells.
Which is?
Exactly correct.
Where?
New York City. Where it is exactly 1 o'clock.
So at last you have come.
Yes.
Who are you?
I'm the Baroness Karen Gaither, formerly of Vienna.
My name is Jura, Erich Jura.
Before we talk, can we get this signal business straight?
That white clock will always be in my window.
Yes.
When it is set at 5 o'clock, you may come in. 12 o'clock means danger. Break contact.
5 o'clock, all clear. 12 o'clock, danger.
And break contact.
If I break contact with you, is there anyone else I can call?
Yes, a man named Paul Hammerlein.
Yes.
He's young, strong, speaks perfect German. Uh-huh. I'll write down the telephone number.
Oh, never write anything down. Tell it to me.
2007.
Again, please.
2007. Oh, Fräulein, for weeks now I have been waiting for...
Wait, can you recommend a safe place for me to stay? The hotel is too public.
At the house of my cousin. Her name is Meltzner.
Meltzner?
73 Missionstrasse.
Can she be trusted?
Yes, all she cares about is pig's knuckles and waltzes.
Does she know about you?
She knows nothing about anything except cooking.
And she has a room to rent.
You may go there from here. I will say that you are a customer on a vacation and that you inquired about home.
Good. Now about Operation Dusk,
but... still and not so loud, Fräulein, please.
Aren't we alone?
We are alone, but the very walls have ears.
Herr Jura, a spy without courage is useless.
Fräulein, I am no longer young. I have arthritis. My hearing is bad. Spying is for men who are strong. After all, your country is at war with Germany. What you do for patriotism. I am tired. I am sick. And when one is sitting on a secret like Operation Dust, it is like living with a time bomb that will blow up any minute.
Well, what is Operation Dust?
You mean you don't know?
Oh, look. I was told to look for a clock shop in Basel that had in the window a man's watch set at New York time. I was told I would be given Operation Dust, and that I was to transmit it by code to London at once.
In the German language, Das is the neuter pronoun.
Meaning?
Neuter, or neutral.
I do not understand.
Operation Dust is the deliberate plan of Germany to brutally and without conscience...
Shh, shh. There's someone at the door.
Fräulein, I guarantee this watch will keep perfect time. Perfect.
I'm sure it will.
Let me set it for you. 6:03. There. I'm sure it will be satisfactory.
Thank you.
Yes, sir?
Herr Jura?
Yes.
My identification, State Security Police. You will come with me, please.
Why? I have done nothing.
It is only a routine examination concerning your foreign exchange license.
But I am alone here. There is no one to watch the shop.
You will come now, Herr Jura. Now.
For an instant, I thought Herr Jura would faint with terror. His hands, swollen with arthritis, shook uncontrollably. He looked at me, a long, pleading look, as though he was trying to tell me something. Then he turned and followed the policeman out of the shop. When I finally looked at the watch he had given me, I saw it was set at 12. 12 o'clock. Danger.
This is the room here, Fräulein.
Thank you, Frau Melzer. It looks very pleasant. I'm grateful to Herr Jura for recommending you.
Ach, that cousin of mine. All he does is worry. Eat and laugh. That is my recipe.
It's a good one.
Ah, you are thin, my child. I'll fatten you up. You wait. None of these foolish French breakfasts. Hot pfannkuchen, jam, cheese, eggs. Something to start the day right. I don't say everybody should weigh 200 pounds like me, but young girls should...
Frau Meltner, I am tired. I like to lie down a moment.
Oh, forgive me. Talking is my hobby. And, Fräulein, if you do use the telephone, make a note, please.
A note?
For the bill. Oh, I know you young girls, always calling up men. Now, when I was a girl,
The men called you.
They besieged me, and there was always enough of me to go around. Fräulein, you see, I have no daughters. If there is anything I can do for you, just ask.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have your nap. I will see you later.
All right.
So, did you get her to take the room?
Of course. She's resting now.
What did you find out?
Nothing yet.
Who is she?
Her name is Geza, Baroness Karen Geza. She is traveling on a stateless person permit.
Why?
Give me time, will you? Don't I always get what you want?
We picked up Jura.
Good. Where did you take him?
Across the border. He's in Germany now.
Does he know about Operation Das?
I'll beat it out of him if he does. He has arthritis. The least touch and he screams. What's that?
Telephone. She's phoning. Pick up the receiver, quickly. Hold it so we can both hear.
Shh.
Keep your hand over the mouthpiece.
Hello?
Paul Hammerlein, please.
Speaking.
My name is Geza. Karen Geza. Herr Jura, the watchmaker, gave me your name. He gave me a watch, too. Set at danger.
12 o'clock?
Yes.
Meet me in an hour at the Schiefenecker Café. It's a little bustle at the head of the Greifengasse.
How will I know you?
I am Paul and blonde. I will hold a white handkerchief in my left hand, and I wear horn-rimmed glasses. Have you got that?
Horn-rimmed glasses?
Yeah.
A white handkerchief in your left hand. Yes.
In an hour, then.
Yes. Goodbye.
They've hung up.
Ah, an ingenious device, Frau Meltzner. My compliment.
Thank you.
Who is Paul Hamelin?
Friend of old Jura's. For weeks I have suspected him of working for the British. He's... wait a minute.
Yes?
She has never seen him. He is tall and blonde. Except for the glasses, the description could fit you, Fritz.
You mean?
Why not? She doesn't know Hamlein. She doesn't know you.
So I trade places with him?
Yeah. He lives at 11 Freistrasse. If you want to stop him, you'd better hurry. They said in an hour at the Schiefenecker Café.
Oh, it's risky.
Ah, with one blow, I could finish Hamlein myself. Now, you pick her up at the café and across the border to Germany. And remember... a white handkerchief in your left hand.
Hamelin wears glasses. Where can I get horn-rimmed glasses at this hour?
Take his.
Hello? That is all I know, Herr Hammerlein. The state security police came into the clock shop and took you away.
Oh, they will probably let him go in the morning.
What do you know about Operation Dust?
Fräulein, please. Even to say the words is dangerous. Oh. We can talk in my car. Let me drive you home.
You have a car?
Parked right outside.
Weren't we supposed to turn left back there?
Left?
Yes. Frau Melzer lives on Missionstrasse. I thought...
Fräulein, I have lived in Basel all my life.
But this road leads to the border station.
Believe me, Fräulein, I know Basel like the palm of my hand.
But we are coming to the river, to the bridge.
Shortcut, that's all.
We do not cross a bridge to go to Frau Melzer's house.
We cross this one.
I see.
What are you doing?
I dropped my gloves.
Then pick them up. What up? Give me the key. Get away from that door. Eulen, come back. Come back or I shoot. Herr God, she jumped.
Bungler, der Flüchte Hazel.
Before I could stop her, she was out of the car.
You should have shot her.
She pretended she dropped her gloves. Before I realized it, she turned off the ignition and taken the key. I was wearing Hammerlein's glasses and I couldn't see. Besides, a 20-foot fall into the Rhine from that bridge is better than a bullet.
You should have searched. You should have found her.
She jumped from the middle of the bridge. She's dead, I tell you. She is dead.
She'd been in the respirator, Charlie.
Almost 2 hours, Doc.
Who found her?
The police. They saw her jump from the bridge, sir.
Suicide?
Could be.
I wonder why.
Dames.
Well, she's coming round now. Turn off the respirator.
Yeah, sure thing, Doc.
Where am I?
You're safe.
Where am I?
It's all right. You're in the hospital.
In Switzerland.
Where else?
Oh, thank God.
Shh, that won't do any good.
Please, you've got
now,
to...
Now, take it easy, baby. Take it easy.
You don't understand.
Well, you're all right now. You're safe.
Please, telephone. 2007. A man named Paul Hemmel. And if he answers, tell him where I am.
2007. Yes. Paul Hemmelein. All right.
And my landlady, Frau Messner. 73 Missionstrasse.
I'll phone immediately.
Tell her I'm safe. Tell her not to worry.
I don't believe it. To jump 20 feet into the middle of the Rhine and live?
Believe what you like. They brought her home from the hospital this morning. Some English doctor phoned last night. She was afraid I'd worry.
Is she still in bed?
Yes, and eating a hearty lunch.
Does she suspect you?
No.
You are sure?
Of course I'm sure. How about Jura?
Every time we touch him, he faints. We have learned nothing.
Then break him. You've done this before.
You cannot make an unconscious man talk.
You fool! A half-crippled old man. A slip of a girl.
She's in your house.
Keep your voice down. She'll hear you. We mustn't panic. But please... Please, get it out of Jura, as he told her. Where is it? We've got to know quickly.
Frau Melzer.
Doctor is coming any minute. Go out the back way.
Yes.
I'll keep her in bed as long as I can.
I'll go back and work on Jura.
Frau Melzer.
Coming. Just a minute.
That was a delicious lunch, Frau Melzer. You're feeding me like a truck driver.
Poor Karin. You look so pale. Here. Let me take the tray. There. Now, how do you feel?
Just wonderful. I should like to get up.
Tomorrow.
Oh, but I feel fine, honestly.
Tomorrow you will feel finer. You have had a bad shock.
But I'm so much trouble to you.
My dear child, Having you in the house is... Well, it is nice for me to have a young girl to fuss over.
Why are you so good to me?
Oh, it is nothing, nothing. Besides, I love to cook. And when there is only me to eat it, I get fat. And when I get fat, Oh, that must be the doctor. Oh,
throw Meltzer my bed jacket, quick. The blue one.
Yeah.
And my comb and the perfume, please.
Oh, he's only a doctor. Besides, Karen, you look delicious.
So that's my story. Battalion surgeon, 5th Lancashire Regiment. Charlie and I escaped out of Germany. The Swiss police interned us for the duration.
You are a prisoner?
On parole. The Swiss are very jealous of their neutrality. I'm free to move around. Glad to work at the hospital. It's better than sitting in a cell somewhere.
It should be easy to get out of Basel.
In return for being allowed to move around and work, I promised I wouldn't try.
I see.
May I ask you a personal question?
What kind of a question?
Did you, well, why would a woman like you jump off a bridge?
Dr. St. George, I have known sadness, yes. My husband was murdered by the Nazis. Our palace in Vienna was sacked. But I still believe in the future. Believe me, I did not try to commit suicide. And that is all I will tell you.
I'm very glad. Now I have a prescription.
Oh, no. Not more medicine, please.
No, dinner with me tonight at the casino.
Doctor's order?
Correct.
Then I shall be obedient.
I'll call for you at 7. Are you sure you'll feel strong enough?
I feel wonderful, and I'll be ready.
Till 7, then.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Two. Zero. 0 7. Please, God, let him answer. Let him be in this time. Please.
Aren't you enjoying yourself?
Well, of course I am.
You seem so preoccupied.
I'm sorry.
More champagne.
Thank you.
I have a toast. To you for jumping into my life.
May I change it?
Of course.
To a brave old man who was afraid.
Who?
He ran a watch shop.
Did he give you that watch?
Yes. And every time I look at it, I wonder what happened to him.
Herr Jura, this is so foolish. We know a microfilm on operation Daz was in your possession until 3 days ago. Now, where is it? All right, since you insist.
No, no, please. Don't touch me again.
Where is it?
No. I'll tell.
Where is it?
It's in her watch. It's concealed in the case of a watch I gave her in the shop when you picked me up. Now leave me alone. Please, please, please leave me alone.
What kind of a watch?
A wristwatch. A man's wristwatch.
Now, one more question, Herr Jura.
No.
Hamelin, the man in the cell with you. Did you help him to escape? Where would he go?
Oh, no, I...
Did you tell him about the watch? Oh, be quiet. Be quiet. Frau Meltzner? Jura talk. Yes. A microfilm on operation Daz is concealed in the wristwatch the girl is wearing. A man's wristwatch, get it? She's out. Where? The casino. Listen, get Otto and Hans. Meet me at the casino in 30 minutes.
Doctor, it's getting late.
Would you like to leave?
I'm afraid I'm not in the mood for dancing and champagne.
I wish you'd tell me what's bothering you.
I wish I could. Believe me, I wish I could.
What is it?
That man. The tall, fair one. He's the one who tried to kidnap me.
Kidnap you?
Yes. The Gestapo.
Karen.
And the one with him is the man who arrested Herr Jura in the watchmaker's shop.
Are they after you?
Yes.
Can I help?
If only we had a car. If only we could make a dash for it.
Waitress, will you bring me the telephone, please?
What are you going to do?
Oh, trust me, will you?
You don't understand. These men are insane. They are desperate. They kill and they murder. They stop at nothing.
Be steady.
Here is your telephone, sir. Just a moment, sir, till I plug it in. Go ahead, sir.
Not the police?
No.
Then who?
You want a car, don't you? Hello? Dr. St. George here. I'm at the casino. Yes. I want an ambulance in a hurry. Send Charlie with it. Yes. Tell him the bases are loaded. Never mind. Just tell him to hurry.
How long will it take?
About 10 minutes. I say, Karen, is that Frau Meltzner?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Frau Meltzner isn't the casino type. What do we do when the ambulance arrives?
First, we have some more champagne. Nobody can hurt you in a crowded nightclub. When the ambulance arrives, believe me, with Charlie on the side, and we'll know when it arrives. We get up and very casually walk to the door.
Then what?
Wherever you want to go.
Home.
Is that best?
Frau Meltzner is completely trustworthy.
You have your key?
Yes. Good night, Doctor, and thank you. Thank you more than I can say.
I'll telephone in the morning.
And say goodnight to Charlie for me.
I will.
And thank you again for everything.
Oh, it was nothing. Nothing at all. Good night.
Frau Meltzner, are you asleep? Frau Meltzner, are you asleep? Hello? Speaking.
This is Paul Hammerlein.
What?
Listen, I've been hurt. They captured me, but I got away. I've been trying to call you for half an hour. Listen, Operation Das is in the watch. In the watch Herr Jura gave you in the shop.
The watch?
I found out that Frau Meltzner, that she...
Hello. 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 I hurried to my room. With trembling fingers, I opened the watch. It was all there, on microfilm. All of Operation Das. I had won. I had found it. In the morning, I would send it to London. I hid the watch under my mattress and tried to sleep. My mind was in turmoil. Herr Jura was dead. Paul Hammerlein was... Where? I didn't know. Finally, I fell asleep. Tortured, restless sleep. It was 3 a.m. when I awoke with a start. Is somebody there? Who is it? Frau Meltzner? Who is it? Who is it?
He didn't hear things. Oh. In bed.
Frau Meltzner, are you deliberately trying to frighten
Keep
me?
Keep quiet. What threats?
So they didn't take her out to the hospital.
The watch, Baroness. Give it to me. I know you've got it. Now, where is it?
This man is...
But this time without Paul Hamelin's glasses, and I shoot very straight, Baroness. Please keep still.
No, Fritz, let me. Curling irons. They get hot very quickly. Now, listen, you little fool. We're in a hurry. Where is it?
I should have known when you said that the Nordic blood overwhelmed...
Shut your mouth! I have wanted to do that for 5 days. Keep her covered, Fritz. These curling irons get hot, Baroness. Very hot. They will bring welts on that lovely skin like rats in a dirt road. Hold off it.
Yes, now, Miss.
Keep your hands off me. Let go.
Where is it, Baroness? No? The curling irons are very hot.
It's in the drawer. In the bottom drawer under my clothes.
Get it, Fritz. Don't worry. She won't move.
Yes. She's lying.
Under the clothes.
No. I believe the Baroness wishes to play games.
Hold her. I'm not fooling, Baroness. I want that watch. I want it now, this second.
My purse. Under the bed. I swear it's in my purse.
If you are lying this time, Baroness.
No, no, no. I swear it's in my purse.
Look under the bed, Fritz.
Yes. Everybody stand nice and still. You or Fritzy make a move, Frau Meltzer?
Charlie, thank God.
Dumped Americana.
The curling irons, Frau Meltzer, put them down. You want it in the stomach or the head? Now, get up, Karen, and get a coat. I got the ambulance outside.
Yes, yes.
We picked up a guy named Hammerline tonight, Fritzy. I found him in a phone booth, just about dead. He told me some of the things you'd done to him. Come here.
Well, after all, we are at war. Your country and mine.
Yeah, that's right. Now stand right in front of me. Hurry, Karen.
Yes.
Remember this, will you, Fritzy?
This apartment, 300 francs a month.
Ask Charlie. He got it for me.
Well, this girl said she's. What's the matter? You don't like it?
Oh, it's wonderful. And so are you, both of you.
Karen, what about Operation Das?
I transmitted the complete plans by code to Allied Intelligence in London. Then I presented the microfilm to the Swiss government.
I don't get it. What's Das mean?
Das means neuter.
Neither masculine nor feminine. Neuter.
In the middle.
Or neutral, like Switzerland. Operation Das was the complete and detailed plans for a German attack on Switzerland. Invasion, everything.
But everybody knows that Switzerland is neutral.
Charlie, you are a very naive man.
You know, I wonder when folks are going to figure Americans right.
Well, what do you mean, Charlie?
Americans hate war, Doc. They hate killing people. But whoever pulls Uncle Sam's beard once too often... gets the hell beat out of him.
You have just heard Ilona Massey in Top Secret, a transcribed series brought to you each week at this time by NBC. Here is Miss Massey to give you a clue to next week's assignment.
Next week? The story of a mission and a poison pin. A corsage that meant death. A baron who played polo. And a Marcati 22 whose four wheels spun for fortune. It is a story that has been until now top secret.
Top Secret is directed and produced by Harry W. Junkins. Tonight's script was by Alan Sloan. Featured with Miss Massey were Ronald Long as the doctor and Ruth York as Frau Meltzner. Other players were Theo Gertz, Peter Capel, Earl Hammond, and Andrew Dugan. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shields. This is Fred Collins speaking. Best ways to ensure your own future and to ensure a more secure future for America is through the purchase of United States savings bonds. Take It or Leave It provides gay entertainment for you next on NBC.
Top Secret, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 23rd of July, 1950 on NBC. The program, featuring screen actress Ilona Massey, enjoyed a brief run on the network from June of 1950 to October of that year. And probably with little coincidence, Massey was not on the silver screen in that year, but she did appear in some television programs, among them the Magnavox Theater and Studio One in Hollywood. This is an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Clyde Beatty Show, with an episode taken from the late 1940s called In Search of a Myth.
The Clyde Beatty Show. The world's greatest wild animal trainer, Clyde Beatty, with another exciting story transcribed from his brilliant career. This master of the big cats captures ferocious jungle beasts and trains them to perform under the big top in the circus, where there are always thrills, action, and danger. Hundreds of dramatic behind-the-scenes adventures are all part of the Clyde Beatty story. This is the story, In Search of a Myth. It was during an off-season that Clyde Beatty was making a series of appearances in Europe. Called to London for an engagement, he was resting in his dressing room after the show when his wife, Harriet, came rushing in.
Clyde, take off that robe.
Why? What's wrong with it?
You're about to have a visitor. A very important visitor.
Okay, I'll take it off, but tell me who's coming.
Cavendish Benting. He's an earl. His title is Sir Harry.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Oh, just a moment.
Good evening, madam. I'm Cavendish Benting.
Oh, we were expecting you. Come in. I'm Harriet Beatty.
Chum.
Oh, Clyde, this is Sir Harry.
Hi.
Sir Harry, my husband, Clyde Beatty.
Hi. An honor, Beatty. Enjoyed your performance immensely.
Thanks. Have a seat.
Thank you, sir.
Now, is there something I can do for you?
Well, if you don't mind, Beatty, I'll come quickly to the point.
Great.
Do I understand correctly that when you leave England, you propose to make a safari into the South African jungle?
That's right.
The purpose, I take it, is to capture some wild beasts.
Right.
Perhaps then I might press a commission upon you to make a quest for a particular animal for me.
Well, I suppose so. Sure.
Splendid. There'll be a substantial fee, of course.
What animal did you have in mind, sir? Lion? Tiger? Gorilla, perhaps?
No. An animal that we read about in mythology. An animal that supposedly doesn't exist. There's one great horn growing from the middle of its forehead.
You mean...
Yes, Beatty. I want you to bring me back a unicorn.
We will return to Clyde Beatty in just a moment.
Sir Harry, are you sure you meant to say a unicorn?
Precisely.
But, well, that's impossible. There's no such animal.
I'm inclined to agree, Beatty.
Of course, there's an animal in India called the auric. It's referred to as a unicorn, but it actually has two horns. Also, there's a species of rhinoceros with a single horn in Africa.
No, but the beast I have in mind is like this.
My, what a beautiful ring.
Yes, that crest is my family coat of arms. You see, it features a unicorn rampant upon a field of blue and gold.
But that animal is legendary. Only a mythological creature.
Yes, I know.
And you want me to find one for you?
I repeat, I'm inclined to agree there is no such beast.
Well?
However, there seem to be others not of the same opinion.
But surely you're not going to waste your time and money in search of a myth.
I find it difficult to explain this queer business, Mr. Beatty. However, there is someone at my home who can, graphically. A car is outside the theater. Could you come with me for just an hour or two?
Well, Sir Harry, you've hit one of the many weaknesses in my character. I'm loaded with curiosity.
Then you'll come.
Knowing Clyde as I do, a herd of elephants couldn't keep him away.
Give me 5 minutes to change my clothes. I'll be right with you.
For countryside, Sir Harry.
Yes, you picked the best time of year to visit England.
Harriet, look at the size of that place over there.
Why, it's like a castle.
You'll get a closer look in a few moments. Matter of fact, you'll be going inside.
Is that your home?
Yes. It's been in our family for centuries. Before we go inside, I should like to tell you a bit about the person we are going to see. I would have brought him to you in London, but unfortunately he is unable to travel. He's an invalid.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm glad, though, not to miss the opportunity of seeing this wonderful place.
Tell me, before he got sick, was this man an adventurer or an explorer?
No, but he is an expert in certain fields.
Oh, a professor, perhaps?
One day, I hope he might be. You see, he's my son. He's 12 years old. His room is just at the head of the stairs. Yeah. Here we are.
Come in.
How goes it, old chap?
Why, sir, you're back early from the city?
Yes, I brought along some visitors.
Oh, do come in.
Mr. and Mrs. Beatty. This is my son, Aiden.
How do you do?
Oh,
I say, aren't you Mr. Clyde Beatty? The Clyde Beatty?
Well, I don't quite know what you mean by the, but my name is Clyde Beatty.
Oh, I've read your books over and over. I've heard stories about your adventures around the world. And I've spoken with chaps who've seen you battle the big cats in the arena.
Well, when you're up and around, I'll see that you have a front seat for my show.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, I'm so happy you've come to visit me.
We're happy to be here, Aiden.
You will stay for tea?
Oh, of course they will.
Good.
Aiden, the Beattys are about to set off for South Africa.
Truly? A hunting expedition, Mr. Beatty?
We're going to bring back some animals for the circus.
It's going to be quite a trip. We'll sail from here to Cape Town.
Then we push up to Johannesburg.
Oh, wonderful.
And then on to Lake Makarikari.
Oh, that's right in the center of Bechuanaland. It's a very large lake.
My, you certainly know South Africa.
Oh, I've studied every inch of it, ma'am.
I suppose you've studied about all the animals in Africa, too.
Oh, I have, sir. All of them.
Well, on this safari, I imagine we'll see some of all the species there. If you had your pick, what would you want us to bring back?
Oh, sir, I'd want you to bring back a unicorn. Well, you think that's silly, don't you, sir?
Well,
I don't blame you, Mr. Beatty. At one time, I thought so, too.
You mean something has changed your mind?
Yes, Mrs. Beatty. Of course, when I was a very small boy, I did believe that the device on our family crest was a real animal. It is a unicorn, you see. When I was old enough to read, I realized the horse-like creature with a long, sharp, twisted horn set in the middle of its forehead was simply a myth.
And what's your feeling now?
Oh, now I'm certain there are such animals. At least there's one.
Well, what makes you think so, Aiden?
A letter my brother Joffrey wrote to me. He's an engineer with the Diamond Syndicate out in Africa, near Kimberley.
Well, did he write to you that he'd seen such an animal?
No, it was a friend of his who saw it, a man named Rourke.
Is this Rourke a trustworthy witness?
Oh, I don't know, but I believe my brother wouldn't have relayed his story if he were not.
I see.
Where was it that Mr. Rourke saw the animal?
In the Okavango Swamp region.
Well, that's not far from where we're going.
No, it's just northwest of Lake Makarikari.
Aiden, would it mean so very much to you to know that such a creature exists?
Oh, almost more than anything in the world.
Oh, excuse me, it's the house phone. Yes? Oh, have him come up. The doctor is here, Aiden. We'll step out until he leaves.
You will come back for tea?
Of course.
We want to hear more about that unicorn of yours.
I'll expect you back.
Shall we go into this room?
All right.
He's such a sweet child, Sir Harry.
And as you said, he's a bright boy.
Thank you both. Now about that unicorn business. I observed that you were very sensitive to the boy's deep feeling in the matter.
It made his eyes shine.
Yes. That and the poison in his system from his illness. I don't pretend to fully understand such things, but to Aiden, the unicorn in our family crest, and a word from his brother concerning a real unicorn have to him become a symbol of faith.
I think I understand.
I know I do.
Then you will look into this story of Rourke's when you go to South Africa?
You bet we will, and you can tell that boy of yours if there's a unicorn on that continent, we'll find it.
If you tell him yourself, he'll be tremendously impressed. You see, he admires you very much.
I'll tell him.
Just one thing.
Yes?
The boy might not be here when you return.
Oh.
But help him to know you have gone in search of his unicorn.
Hyde Beatty will continue with his story in a moment. The Beattys thought they were going to Africa just to bring back lions and other usual circus-type animals. But when they sailed from England, they had determined also to hunt for a fabulous creature, a unicorn. The search started in a hot and dusty office in Kimberley, where Clyde was questioning Sir Harry's eldest son about a letter he had sent to his invalid brother in England.
You don't mind my calling you Joffrey, do you?
Of course not. Cavendish Benting is rather a mouthful.
About this Rourke fellow you mentioned in your letter to Aiden, is he a trustworthy person?
Well, yes and no. He's one of those characters one finds here in Africa. One time he was young and strong, fresh out of Ireland, out here to find the largest diamond in the Kimberley.
I suppose he didn't find it.
No. Like a lot of others, he did not. Like a lot of others who were disappointed and disillusioned, he developed a great thirst. One that mere water could not satisfy.
I see. How did he ever get in the region of Okavango, where he was supposed to have seen the one-horned beast?
He became a trader, then a guide. A rather good one, too, I'm led to believe.
Do you believe his story about seeing a unicorn in the Okavango swamps?
That's not an easy question to answer.
Well, if you're in doubt, why did you write to your brother as if the story were true?
You've met Aiden. You know what an intense little chap he is.
Yes, I've met him. And he has a great deal of faith in what he believes. And he also has faith in his brother, Joffrey.
Ouch. You don't pull your punches, do you, Beatty?
In my business, it doesn't pay.
Well, all I can say is this. Rourke claims to have seen the animal, and so do quite a number of Nagami natives whom I troubled to question. Their story sounded authentic. What it means is for others to decide.
Where can I find Rourke?
He left Kimberley for Johannesburg only last week.
Good. That's where I'm heading.
And after that?
The Okavango Swamp Country.
Then you are going to search for the fabulous unicorn.
I promised a small, a very sick youngster that if there was a unicorn in Africa, I'd find him.
And, Beatty, I'm telling you, sure as I'm alive walking up and down, pounding this here table, I seen that glorious creature with me own two eyes. And sober, too, I was, mind you.
Just tell me what he looked like, Roger.
There we was. Me and a couple of me Nagami gun barriers. We had a great pound in the hooves, like a great stag stomping out his authority. We push aside the brush, and he rose up before our very eyes, the most splendiferous beast it has ever been me privileged to view.
What did he look like, Rourke?
Well, now. He was the size and the conformation of a good to medium tall Irish hunter.
What color was he?
White, Mr. Beatty. White as snow.
Are you sure there were no streaks of color in his coat?
Well, no. There might have been a touch or two, a fleck, mind you, a color onto him. But for the most part, he were white.
Did you note the tail?
The tail was not like a horse. The hair onto it was short, except for a tuft at the end, like a lion.
I see. And the horn?
From the middle of his forehead sprouted a long, sharp, twisted horn like a narwhal's tusk.
What did the animal do?
Do? He sniffed at us and wrinkled his flared nostrils. Then he turned, glared full at me till I swear sparks was coming out of his eyes.
Now, don't get carried away.
It's a fact. He then stomped the ground with blows that had fractured elephant's back. I blinked my eyes, and in a flash he was gone.
Rourke, did anyone ever tell you you should be a writer?
Well, no. I've been told I could turn a rather neat phrase.
Turn it. You can make one roll over and do nip-up.
Bless you, sir, for them kind words.
Have you told me the truth?
One was so. May I never meet my blessed mother in heaven if what I've told you is untrue.
All right. Now, can you take me to the place where you saw this creature?
To the exact spot. The precise clearing in the identical waterhole.
Good. Then let's go.
Have you ever in your life heard anyone talk like our friend Rourke?
Never.
Oh, I do hope he hasn't been handing us a lot of blarney.
It'd take quite an imagination to make up the stuff he's been telling us.
There's only one thing that bothers me.
What's that, honey?
A man would have to live to be 1,000 years old to have lived through all his experiences.
That's a fact.
Clyde, do you think he's leading us on a wild goose chase?
I'm afraid so, honey.
But why? What would he hope to gain?
He gets paid for every day we're on the trail.
I just don't think anybody could be that cruel to a boy who's sick and whose heart is so full of faith.
Sounds like that boy's not the only one with faith.
Well, I do.
Here we are. This is it.
It's Rourke. He found the place.
Yeah, and right on time. Come on.
This is the place, Vicky. The very place.
Well, looks like the one you described.
There's the clearing. And there's the water hole where that beastie was taking his drink.
Well, if there was such an animal, he could be hundreds of miles away from here by now.
I don't think so, Betty.
Well, what makes you say that?
No, as one hunting man to another. A wild animal that's different from the others has got to be stronger than them or he'll be killed, right?
Well, that's usually right.
If the creature is stronger, he'll pick out a good territory to stake his claim. and then defend it with his life.
That makes sense.
In that case, our unicorn's bound to be somewhere around this here waterhole.
Failing a career as a writer, Rourke, you'd have made a good detective.
Thank you, sir. Now, from here, we've got one or two choices. Namely, we chase all over the territory, following footprints and hoping and hoping.
Or
we sit right here, nice and cozy and snug, and wait.
You mean for the animal to show up here?
If any other deductions is logical, he's bound to appear eventually.
Which of the choices do you suggest we follow?
Actually, Mr. Beatty, my back is giving me a devilment. My poor feet is killing me.
In other words, you're telling me we wait.
Mr. Beatty, you've guessed me actual thoughts.
Harriet. Mm-hmm. Harriet, wake up, honey.
Oh, is it morning?
Not quite, but it'll be daylight very soon.
Well, why the early call?
Rourke just woke me. We've got a new visitor at the spring.
Oh, not the unicorn.
No, just a lone bull elephant, probably an advanced scout for the herd. Get dressed and come on down. Is he still there, Rourke?
Yeah, that he is. You sure giving this spot the double O.
Now, what's all this about?
Quiet.
All right. But what's the idea?
Please, honey, just watch. I'll explain later.
That's all I've been getting for a week now. Shh. Wait, I'll explain later.
The elephant's moving off. He's seen what he wants.
And I've seen all I want. What's so exciting about an elephant in a water hole?
At this particular water hole, it's...
Daisy! Look! Harry, look over there.
Why, Clyde... It's a unicorn.
If it isn't, it sure looks like one.
See, I told you.
Oh, he's beautiful.
I wish there were more daylight. It's hard to see.
It don't take more light than this to see that curly horn.
Yeah, but except for that horn, the animal looks pretty much like a kudu.
But, Clyde, didn't you say that kudus, like other antelopes, run in herds?
Not when they're as different as this one. It's probably an outcast.
Don't you believe it?
Uh-oh, the elephant's coming back. That'll scare our beauty away.
No, look. He's stomping the ground. He's mad as a hornet.
Why, that kudu's not only a freak, he's crazy.
The elephant's charging. The unicorn's going to stand up to him.
Why, this is fantastic.
The unicorn's lowered his head. He's dashing at the elephant.
Well, this is something I never expected to see.
How could you? I never believed there was such a thing as a unicorn.
Then what happened, Mr. Beatty?
The animal charged. He seemed to be aiming that twisted horn at the elephant's throat.
You see, Father, you see?
No, wait. You mustn't get too excited.
It's according to legend, all right? The unicorn is fearless. He'll even battle an elephant. But do go on, Mr. Beatty. What happened?
At the last moment, the elephant raised his head. One tusk struck the twisted horn, and it snapped like a twig.
Oh.
I fired my rifle, and then both animals dashed off into the jungle. Well, are you disappointed, Aiden?
Oh, no. No, I'm sure the unicorn was able to find a new waterhole.
I knew you'd say that. And look, here's the part that broke off the unicorn's horn.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You know, I've been reading about unicorns, too. Their horns, I understand, have a quality for absorbing poison. Perhaps this one does, too.
Perhaps, Mrs. Beatty, perhaps.
Well, we'd better go now. Goodbye, Aiden. Good luck.
Goodbye, my friends. Goodbye. And thank you. Thank you so very much.
Well, honey, the little fella seemed pretty happy.
Thanks to you, dear.
Me? I didn't do anything.
Well, you didn't tell him you thought his unicorn was just a crazy kudu.
Well?
Tell me, honey. Do you really think it was a kudu?
You know, Harriet, right this minute, I'm not too sure. Not too sure.
And now, here is the star of our show, Clyde Beatty.
Hunting a unicorn was one of the strangest expeditions I've ever undertaken, but it was worth it to make that boy happy. The next time we meet, you'll hear another thrilling adventure.
All stories are based upon incidents in the career of the world-famous Clyde Beatty and the Clyde Beatty Circus. The Clyde Beatty Show is produced and transcribed by Shirley Thomas. written by Robert T. Smith and Frank Hart Tausig. Music composed and conducted by Albert Glasser. All names used were fictional, and any resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This is a Commodore production.
The Clyde Beatty Show, on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from the late 1940s, wrapping up this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.